Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Hayward three.
Don't look at the stat line, the shooting percentage. A complete game. 24 minutes right now for Gordon Hayward after coming off what happened just a year ago in game one.
Yeah, the NBA season's underway. That's Gordon Hayward making a three-pointer for the Celtics late on as they beat the 76ers on the opening night of the NBA season. We wanted to play that because we did talk about Gordon Hayward around this time last year when he had just signed for the Celtics and he suffered a horrific, awful, ugly, broken leg and also dislocated his ankle at about the same time last year in that game. So he's back and he's sunk an important three-pointer there. We've got the Ringer's John Gonzalez on the line. They'd be your Philadelphia 76ers, I presume, John. Even you couldn't have begrudged Gordon Hayward his moment. Even you.
Even I could not begrudge him. Didn't look quite Gordon Hayward-esque, but he looked good enough to be out on the court, which I think for him is a win, and it was certainly a win for the Celtics. And look, however he looked, that whole team looked much, much better than the Sixers. So kudos to the Celtics.
So it's interesting over here. I guess you'll have more people potentially watching on Sky Sports. I think a lot of people have Sky Sports over in this part of the world, certainly more than BT, I think. So a four-year broadcasting deal, and it's going to be right across the season, 170 live games a season, a four-year deal. Coverage takes place in the primetime slot of 8:30 in the evening, weekends over here. Part of the deal, the Knicks are going to play the Washington Wizards in the O2 in London. So, so it's a good deal over here. Plenty of hours of coverage coming our way.
Yeah, a lot of basketball. O2 Arena is great, too. I've seen some concerts over there. That'll be great.
So if we were to bluntly break this season down ahead, I guess the move of LeBron to the Lakers shapes how we're going to talk about it. We have the Eastern Conference, which I'm told now is more open than ever before, given LeBron's move. Boston Celtics may be the favorite. And then Western Conference, it does still seem like Golden State Warriors are going to be the team to beat there. Is that vaguely how we're looking at things?
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I mean, I would really like to tell you that we're going to go into the season and it's all up for grabs and we don't know how it's going to end. But that would be a lie, and I don't want to lie to you or your viewers. The Warriors are going to win the Western Conference. They're going to win the NBA title, barring something really tragic and unforeseen happening. But there is some drama in the Western Conference with, you know, how does LeBron acquit himself? How does he acclimate to the Lakers? How do they acclimate to him? And then, as you mentioned, with him in the West now, the Eastern Conference should be wide open. The Celtics are the deepest team on paper. But you can't count out Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors. The Raptors had the second best record in the NBA last year. And now they add in Kawhi as an upgrade for DeMar DeRozan, who's playing in San Antonio. And the Sixers, despite the fact that they did not look good last night, I still think that they're right in that mix as well. So the Eastern Conference should be at least competitive.
And what does LeBron do to the Lakers?
It's fascinating. What doesn't he do? It's everything. I mean, last year the Lakers won 35 games, and this year everybody's anticipating, myself included, that they'll make the playoffs. And not just make the playoffs, but really be in the mix in that tier below the Warriors and Rockets. I mean, really, after you get past the Warriors and Rockets, you could put the Lakers and the Jazz and the Thunder and the Blazers and the Pelicans and a bunch of other teams, maybe the Nuggets, and a hat, mix them up, pull one out, and you're as likely as the next to see who will come in third place, fourth place, fifth place. So I think LeBron, because he's the best player on the planet, he takes a team that last year was full of some nice, young, promising pieces and elevates them to playoff ready. And then beyond that, who knows, they could be a little feisty.
And does he have a better group to work with than he had at Cleveland?
Yeah, I think it would be hard not to. Last year was tough with the Cavs. They had that beginning of the season where they couldn't get anything right. Isaiah Thomas wasn't healthy. He only played 15 games for them. And then he was very mouthy. He didn't fit in with the team. The chemistry was off. So they got rid of six players. They brought in four new ones. And then those guys were hurt. And they were sort of stumbling along. And it was only by virtue of LeBron being LeBron that they made it into the playoffs and then made it to the finals. I think now what you look at what he has in Los Angeles, he's got a ton of really nice, young, talented pieces. Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, these guys, add in Rajon Rondo and some others. And it should be, I think it's going to be, I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to be good. But even if none of that happens, they're going to be wildly entertaining.
And where is LeBron now in terms of his own motivation? Has he gone there to, yes, of course, play basketball, but are we going to see him building the brand a bit more and appearing in some more movies and mingling in Hollywood circles? Do we know where he is, what his motivation is at this stage?
Yeah, I think the answer to your question, per usual with LeBron, is yes to all of it. I think he's always been interested in Hollywood pursuits. He's Space Jam 2. He's supposed to star in that. He's got a show on HBO called The Shop. He's developing sitcoms. He's jumping on stage with Drake. You know, all of these things are happening concurrent with him trying to marshal the Lakers and put them into the playoffs. And he's been asked about this a lot. And I think it kind of aggravates him. And in that way will also motivate him, where he's saying, look, I've been doing this before. You're asking about it now, but I'm going to show you I can do both, because I've always done both.
And most crucially, have we heard anything more about Space Jam 2? Any plot lines, John, that you want to share with us?
If I found out, I would share them with you immediately. There should be a free exchange of information, because I'm as curious as you are.
So I guess the State Warriors, as you said, the team to beat, where are they? Have they added to their roster? Are they just a kind of self-running machine at this stage? They didn't need to do much in the offseason?
They're silly good. I watched them last night after the Sixers game. They played the Thunder. The Thunder were actually playing them pretty well in the first half, at least. And then in the second half, Golden State does what Golden State does, and they pulled away. Now, the Thunder didn't have Russell Westbrook. He's still recovering from an injury, so he'll be a couple of weeks away. Andre Roberson won't be back until at least the second half of the season, if then. But ultimately, even when every team is at full strength, if the Warriors aren't at full strength, they have such a redundancy of talent and all-stars that it's going to be really, really difficult to get past them.
Kevin Durant's free agent at the end of the season, isn't he?
He is indeed. Very interesting what happens.
And what's the word?
There's a lot of whispers, a lot of people talking about him going to the Knicks, going to New York. I would love for that to happen, because I think it's a lot more fun when the Knicks and the Celtics and the Sixers and the Eastern Conference are all good at the same time. It's good for those of us that are basketball junkies. But beyond that, I want him to go somewhere else, because the Warriors have sort of sucked some of the fun out of it by making it an anticipated result, right? We know what's going to happen with the season. We know what's going to happen with the playoffs. And I think if you unplug Kevin Durant and he goes somewhere else and he gets his own team, at the very least, it makes it slightly harder for the Warriors. They'll still be the most talented team in the NBA even without Kevin Durant, but it would be nice to at least have a question mark over the season about who's going to win it all.
And has that kind of dominated, you know, these last few weeks as American media builds up to the NBA season, just this sense of fatigue with the Warriors and their brilliance? Has that been kind of the overriding talking point?
Well, I think that we've just sort of overlooked them. There's this foregone conclusion about where they're going to end up. So everybody's kind of looking for storylines. And obviously LeBron is a really welcomed one. I live in Los Angeles. He's in our backyard. It feels like everybody who's living here or elsewhere is talking about him being here. And then the Eastern Conference, again, being sort of wide open, the Celtics being a really deep team. I think that's been an interesting storyline as well. But yeah, I mean, the Warriors' supremacy has sort of, there's some fatigue there, I think, no doubt about it.
Where are the Warriors in the pantheon of all the great teams, and what do they have to do to be number one?
That's interesting. I was thinking about that the other day. I think, you would talk about the Boston Celtics teams of Red Auerbach, even the 80s teams with Larry Bird being among the great teams. Magic Johnson and the Lakers Showtime era. The Kobe Bryant era Lakers would be in the mix. Of course, Michael Jordan's teams that won six finals, where he had the three and then he took a break to play baseball and won three more. But right now, they're set up to beat all those teams, because they've got this run of championships. And if Kevin Durant decides not to leave and they just keep this core together somehow, there's really no telling how many titles that they could secure. I mean, it could end up being like a New England Patriots situation where they're together for a decade or more and just throttling everybody.
And that must be a temptation for Durant to be part of that.
Yeah, I think like he wanted to win a championship, and now he's won two and he's on his way to winning three. And even though it's boring for the rest of us and it sucks some of the enjoyment out of it, I would imagine it's not so boring for them. So that's going to be a hard thing for him to give up on.
Yeah, there's a text in from Peter and Tally who makes a key point. He's obviously watching online as well as listening. Why would John hide his magnificent hair under a hat, depriving his Irish fans of that treat?
I do have fantastic hair. This is one of those situations, and I appreciate him noting that. This is one of those situations where it's pre-shower. You can't unleash it until post-shower.
For the record, I do have fantastic hair is one of the great quotes, I think, of the show in its history.
You got to give the viewers what they want.
Well, you can flash the hair right at the end, just to give them a glimpse. So, you said the Eastern Conference then, to conclude, wide open. You think Boston have the deepest squad, the Celtics have the deepest squad. Can the Sixers do anything, or is it Toronto, or how is that going to play out, or is it genuinely too hard to predict?
I think it's probably, if you're going to put them in order, it's the Celtics and then the Raptors and then the Sixers behind them. And I don't think the Sixers and the Raptors are terribly far apart, and I don't think the Raptors and the Celtics are terribly far apart. But if you were just going to look at it on paper, I think it's pretty unquestionable that the Celtics are the deepest team. But considering that the Raptors have been so good for so long, and that now they should be better with Kawhi, and on top of that, the Achilles heel forever for them was LeBron, and LeBron plays in the West. So that bodes pretty well for them. So if I was going to pick a team that wasn't the Celtics, it'd probably be the Raptors.
Okay. And is there any particular historical reason why Toronto are the one side outside of the U.S. which have managed to wangle their way in?
No, it's an interesting thing for Toronto. I think sometimes we overlook Toronto and we forget about them. And I know that Raptors fans are sort of aggravated about that. They let us know about it all the time on Twitter when they get at us at the Ringer. But this could be it for the Raptors. This could be the year.
Okay, very interesting as always. John, thanks so much for being with us. I'm sure we'll talk across the season, and take it easy. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks for having me as always.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.